And if you would, please turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Our focus last night and again today is on Jesus Christ as the wisdom of God, particularly as found in the book of Proverbs, and that will really be the focus of what we consider this morning. But I want to begin by reading from 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 25, and then we'll read from Proverbs 3, and we'll focus our considerations there, but that will lead us forward into seeing Jesus Christ revealed as Paul proclaims him in 1 Corinthians. So we'll begin our reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, but let's pray before we read. Father, give insight and understanding into your word, that our eyes would indeed be open to wisdom, even the wisdom of Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And now we'll turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 18. And here in Proverbs chapter 3, we speak of the happy man, the route that is found for the happy man, ultimately toward the tree of life. And as we reflect, we'll consider how this leads us ultimately toward Christ. Proverbs 3:13, and I should say, I will read down through verse 20 for context. Proverbs 3:13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up, and clouds drop down the dew. This is the word of God. Well, I have a question. I wonder if you would say that you have taken hold of life. Would you say of yourself this morning that you have taken hold of life itself? You know, the way you grab onto things. The way you would grab with two hands a rope as you would swing from a tree. The way that you would hold on to the hand of your spouse that first time you walked down the aisle. The way you would grab onto the bat as you would prepare for that late inning at bat, ready for the hits. Have you taken hold of life? Have you grabbed on to life? This experience, this reality, the movies, the poets, they long to get at this theme. Some make almost as their life theme that phrase, get busy living or get busy dying. Ralph Waldo Emerson, not exactly a theologian of choice, says, dare to live the life you have dreamed for yourself. Why do people think on these matters? Live. Because we live in a world of people that long to live. Not just exist, not just walk around in this world, but to live. And the strain of life often comes when it seems that that rope of life that you would grab onto is just out of your grasp. You're unable to grab onto life, and all the inspirational quotes, all the movies, all the poets, all the self-help talks haven't been able to solve the problem, the feeling that you're not really living. And some of you may even come in to worship, to communion this morning, longing for this problem to be solved, to find life itself. Others of you would, to the praise of God, reflect in your life and say, I have taken hold of life. I have life itself. And you're longing, how can I continue to experience the life promised in the Word of God? Well, our text this morning leads us to the answer of how it is we would take hold of life. And really, we take hold of life by taking hold of wisdom. We're taking hold of wisdom's tree. Chapter 3, 18 of Proverbs, she, that is wisdom, is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And the vision of the text is that we would grab hold of wisdom, that we would grab hold of wisdom's tree, and that we would find fruit, boundless, joyful life. And it's a compelling image that we would find the tree of life. And what we want to do is look at that theme. Look at that idea. How is it that we would grab hold of the tree of life? How would we understand that in view really of the whole context of Scripture? A beautiful picture, a beautiful image that leads us toward life itself, and ultimately will be led to the Savior with whom we commune this morning. So we want to consider this in two parts. First, just considering the way to the tree. The way to the tree as found here in Proverbs chapter 3. Let's just get oriented to these verses in Proverbs 3 for a few moments. What we find in Proverbs 3, 13 through 20 is actually a reflection on a story. A story. Now maybe you read that at first and say, I don't see a story here, but it's really wisdom's story. It's a story you need to know to be able to grab onto the tree of life. What story is it? It's a wisdom retelling of the story of creation. A wisdom retelling of the story of creation. We already sang of this morning. The works of God created, He created the world in wisdom. Proverbs 3:19, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, He established the heavens. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Proverbs 3, the Lord founded the earth, He founded the heavens by wisdom. Verse 20, by His knowledge the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. Genesis 1, the deeps of the waters, the skies above created. Proverbs 3, we find those deeps, we find those clouds, and at the heart of it, knowledge, wisdom. Proverbs presents the creation as the glorious plan, the glorious work of the very wisdom of God. Now, some of you are already seeing the connection. Verse 19 and 20, speaking of the creation of the world. Verse 18 speaks of a tree of life. And you recall a tree of life present there in the garden. And the question that you need to answer, that you need to know the answer to this morning is, how do we get to that tree of life? How do we get to the life that is offered even in creation itself? You need to know, to take hold of life, you need to know this story. If I wanted to become an expert on the history of auto manufacturing, I would likely need to move for a time from Indiana up toward Michigan. And if you wanted to become an expert on the history of auto racing, you might need to move down from Michigan and spend some time in Indianapolis. And if you want to know how to take hold of life, you need to ponder where life began. You need to ponder this original story, the very story of creation, and see how is it that I would get to this tree of life created there in the garden. And with that, we have to say, well, what is the way to the tree of life? And verse 13 to 18 begins really with the primacy, the very front, the very primary focal points of creation, the creation of man himself. Look at verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. Verse 18 ends with, happy are all who retain her. In the original Hebrew, in verse 18, the last word would be happy. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. Verse 13, all who retain her are happy. We have bookends here. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. This is the biblical pursuit of happiness. And that word happy is the word we so often find translated in our Bibles, blessed. The blessed man. This is speaking of the man of blessing. You remember Adam and Eve in the garden. God created man and blessed them. And that word man there that you find in your text is really just the word Adam. Verse 13 could very much be translated, blessed is the Adam who finds wisdom. Proverbs here reflecting verse 19 and 20 on the creation of the world itself. Verse 13 to 18 on the creation of man, the blessing of man. What we need to see in this text is, what is the route given to man? What is the route given to man to the tree of life? What is the route given even to you and me toward the way of wisdom? How can man take hold of life? How can man find the path to the tree? Well, Proverbs 3:13 makes it clear. Find wisdom. Find wisdom. It's a command. Find wisdom. The man must find wisdom. The man must gain understanding. What you have to know here is wisdom is not talking about cognitive knowledge. You know, man has to figure out how many stars there are in the sky. And it's not really talking about street smarts, the ability to navigate rush hour traffic or something like that. What wisdom is here in this text, well, verse 19 tells us, wisdom is the creational character of God. Man must reflect the God who created him to find the path to the tree of life. The way of wisdom is to reflect the God who created him. And it sounds just like Genesis, doesn't it? Adam, created in the image of God, must reflect the image of the God who created him. Genesis lays it out, man is blessed, and then is given the command, be fruitful and multiply. Genesis 2, don't eat of that one tree. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Almost wisdom-sounding language there. Avoid the false pursuit of wisdom and follow the true pursuit of wisdom. What Proverbs here is reflecting on is the very heart of what it means to be created in the image of God. It's to be called to live according to the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is seen even in creation itself. And Proverbs 3 here doesn't just give us the command, man must pursue wisdom. Proverbs 3 gives us the promise. Genesis 2 frames the promise in the negative. If you don't eat of that tree, or if you do eat of that tree, you will surely die. Proverbs 3 presents the positive, the pathway to life to the one who does pursue wisdom. In many ways, Proverbs 3 and Genesis combine together what theologians have often called the covenant of works or the covenant of life. If man flees wisdom, he dies. If man finds wisdom, he lives. And what a picture. You've got to get your eyes on the promise that is found in verses 14 to 17. Your mouth should be watering. There's an excitement. This is what we're longing for. Verse 14 to 17, the fullness of life with God. And what is the picture? The picture is that God has a promise laid out before us. Verse 14 and 15, of profits that are better than silver, gain better than gold, value more precious than rubies. Just think of that image of gold there. These days, gold goes for about $24,000 a pound. If you have 42 pounds of gold, you're a millionaire. And the promise of this text is that to the man who finds wisdom, there are greater riches. There's greater glory than all the gold of the world itself. There's a biblical, full, exciting, boundless offer of life. Verse 16, length of days, unending life, riches and honor. Verse 17, ways of pleasantness, paths of peace. You can picture those still waters, the green pastures. And the promise of Scripture is that this is what is held out to man. This is what is held out. Happiness, joy, peace eternal, life unending. Held out that it would be laid hold of. And the picture of this life unending is a tree of life. A tree of life to those who take hold of her. Happiness, happy are all who retain her. Yesterday evening, I was talking with Adam by the tree out there between the parsonage and the building here. And as I was looking up, I was amazed. In the night, I could barely look up and see above to the top of the tree, the swing there on the side, and just reflecting on how much life, how much vigor, how much vitality is here just in this tree. And we see that. And what Proverbs grants us here is a vision of boundless, eternal vitality from the tree of life. Continual fruit, continual wealth. At the tree of life, even that tree planted in the garden. But here's the problem. And you know the problem. The story of creation is that man forsook wisdom. Man forsook the tree of life. Instead of long, unending life, Adam chose death. Instead of the ways of pleasantness, the ground was cursed. Instead of the path of peace, a world of discord. And instead of the tree of life, the angel stood in the way. And the sword blocked the path to the tree. And the answer for you, for me, for the world around, for why it feels as though we are unable to take hold of the tree of life, is that angel. That man has fallen. That man has left the tree. Man has left the center of life. And we are as those in the deserts and not in the pastures. We are as those who walk and we see in the distance that tree. We have a longing in us for life. We're famished. We run toward it and we find between us and the tree a chasm so deep, a valley so long. There's no way to reach out and grab on to life. And apart from Jesus Christ, instead of the glory of Proverbs 3:13-18, we live in Adam's nightmare. We live in Adam's nightmare. And the reality is, as we look at our lives, we can sit and we can complain and moan, how could that have happened in creation? But then we reflect, even as we were reflecting last night, and we recognize, I too have joined the crowd. I too have sought my own gain. I too have pursued the ways of death. I too have forsaken life itself. And it could never be said of me that I am the one who has found wisdom, that I am the one who has walked in the perfection of wisdom. And the result is the loss of life, the loss of the hope of communion with God that Proverbs lays out for us. But I want you to see this. Proverbs 3 is actually not speaking a word of hopelessness, but a word of hope. Proverbs 3 written far after the book of Genesis. But Proverbs 3 reads as though the story is not finished. As though the offer still stands. As though there could be an Adam who could come and find wisdom. As though there could be a way for the path to the tree to be open again. as there could be a route of wisdom. From the whole of Scripture, from Genesis 3 to Proverbs, there's no reference to the tree of life. Man is cut off. The message of Proverbs, that tree, that life is still out there to be found. It's still out there to be grabbed. It's still offered. And the hungry in the wilderness cry out, "What is the way? How could there be a way that we could find this tree?" And this leads us to our second part of our meditation this morning, and it is this, just finishing the sentence. The way to the tree is the way of the cross. The way to the tree is the way of the cross. Proverbs 1:1, it's written by, it says this book is written by Solomon, the son of David, addressed to his son, addressed to the sons of David to come. And in many ways, Proverbs is a call that the son of David would walk as Adam, as man, had failed to walk. A call that the son of David would come and reopen the gates to the tree of life. And this is where the Proverbs 3, 1 Corinthians 1 connection appears. And you can turn there in your Bible if you'd like. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, found on page 1013 of the Pew Bibles. In the book of Proverbs, wisdom is immensely and curiously personal. Wisdom is not an abstract thought. Wisdom cries out at the street corners. Wisdom invites you home. And Proverbs may be personifying, Proverbs may be giving personal attributes to this attribute of wisdom, or maybe, just maybe, Proverbs is anticipating a person who will come as the very wisdom of God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the proclamation is this: wisdom has come in the person of Jesus Christ. Verse 24, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The wisdom of anticipation in Jesus Christ has become the wisdom of fulfillment. The wisdom of creation has become the wisdom of incarnation. The Lord created the world by wisdom. And in Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God has come to man. And Jesus Christ, we find in 1 Corinthians 1, has entered the upside-down world of Proverbs. Enters a world that thinks it's wise, but verse 18 is a world of foolishness. Verse 19 and 20, the wisdom of the wise is to be brought to nothing. The wise, the scribe, the disputer of this age, will be made foolish. And here we find an Adam, a man, the wisdom of God Himself, Jesus Christ, the Son of David, come to earth. And if we combine the message of Proverbs and the message of 1 Corinthians, the only hope that you and I have for access to the tree of life is in the person of Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God. And Jesus Christ, the Son of David, enters the world with the call of Proverbs 3:13 over Him. Find wisdom. Seek understanding. And the tempter would come to Christ just as He came to Adam in the garden. But Christ would be found in the wilderness and would reject the tempter. Christ would grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. The crowds would cry out, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works?" He would walk the route that Adam refused to walk. He would walk the route that you and I have refused to walk. He, as Paul would say to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he would have no sin. And what's the route? What is the route promised to the Adam, the man who would come in Proverbs 3 and find wisdom? The promise, life, riches, even the tree of life. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we find the wonder and the glory of the gospel. Because what is it that Paul proclaims of Jesus Christ? 1 Corinthians 1:23, we preach Christ crucified. We preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to the Jews, foolishness to the Greeks, of course, it's a stumbling block to the Jews. Deuteronomy 21 declares that cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. Where is the way of blessing? Where is the tree? Where is the long life when at 33 years old he gave up his breath? Where are the riches when they divided up his clothes and he had nothing? Where are the ways of pleasantness when he set his face like flint toward Jerusalem to be killed? Where are the paths of peace when Christ was forced to walk up that mountain and the cross weighed on his back so heavily he couldn't carry it? Where is the tree of life when your Savior hung on a tree of death? You see, the heart of the gospel is this. Not only do we need an Adam, not only do we need one, the wisdom of God, to walk the path to the tree of life, we need an Adam who will hang for us on the tree of death. To walk in perfect wisdom and then be treated as a fool. Listen to what Proverbs says will happen to the fool. Proverbs says that the complacency of fools will destroy them. Christ destroyed on the cross. Proverbs says that shame will be the legacy of fools. Christ hung on a cross of shame. Proverbs says that fools will die for lack of wisdom. Christ punished with the fools as those who have no wisdom. Proverbs says the expectation of the wicked is wrath, and on Jesus Christ is poured the wrath of God. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Christ's story is that he walked in the steps of the one to pursue the tree of life, but for sinners like you and me, he took the tree of death, that to us might be the tree of life. And we move from Adam's story to Christ's story to my story to your story. Verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The power of God is that Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God, would willingly suffer the tree of death, that Christ would be treated as the fool so that I in Christ could gain the blessings of the wise, that Christ would receive the tree of death that I might inherit the tree of life. And so it can be declared, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Remember the longing? I want to take hold of life. I want to grab onto life. This is the answer. That in Jesus Christ, the one who went to the cross for the likes of you and me, we come alive. In Jesus Christ, who is risen from the dead, we alive in Jesus Christ. And what do we inherit? What do we inherit? Not because we are those who perfectly have pursued wisdom's ways. We haven't. But we inherit the blessing of the tree of life. Proverbs 11:30 says this, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Who is the righteous one? Jesus Christ himself. What is the fruit that comes from those united to Jesus Christ? It is none other than the tree of life. Remember those blessings that Proverbs 3 promised? The promise of long life? Jesus says, he who believes in me will never die. Remember the promise of riches and honor? He who follows Christ receives houses and brothers and lands in this life and that which is to come, the new heavens and the new earth, bounding forever in the fruits of life with God himself. the promise of pleasantness and peace, Christ declares, come follow me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. The promise is that we even now can taste of the tree of life in Jesus Christ, and it's the promise of your eternity as well. Revelation 2:7. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Because Christ went to the tree of death, you and I may feast on the tree of life. And the call is that you would simply believe in Jesus Christ and this gospel. That you would confess that you indeed have not sought wisdom's ways. That you indeed have pursued the way of folly. But there hung on the cross is a Savior in whom I can trust. There at the risen tomb is the Savior I believe. Mary met Jesus in the garden after the resurrection. And the offer is that you indeed can be found in the garden with Jesus Christ, feasting on the tree of life. And as you commune with Jesus Christ and his life, the call is for you then to feast and commune with him as well in the tree of his death. For Christ, the route was from suffering, from the tree of death to the tree of life. And it is our joy that we can partake and rejoice in him even as we fellowship with him in a suffering like his. And pictured and given to you this morning as you commune with him in the Lord's Supper is indeed the feast of the tree of death, signs and seals of Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God. His body broken, his blood shed to take my curse. His body broken, his blood shed to unite me, the fool, to the wisdom of God. His body broken, his blood shed to bring me to the tree of life. So fellowship this morning with Jesus Christ in his death, and rejoice this morning with Jesus Christ in his life, for he is indeed the wisdom of God. Let us pray. Lord, we bless you for that great exchange that Christ gave up, as it were, the tree of life, to take the tree of death, to welcome us back to the garden, welcome us to fellowship with you for now and eternity. And Lord, as we would long to feast with you even this morning, we rejoice in that blood shed for us. We rejoice that Christ came, the wisdom of God, and was crucified, a punishment he did not deserve, to take the punishment we did deserve. Let all our joy, all our hope, all our feasting be in you, O Lord, so that you would be glorified as the one who has gained so great a victory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.